Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the art.
Welcome back to another podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Tiny here tonight, and we have Dan Stansberry in studio. Welcome.
I appreciate you having me back again, my second time.
Yeah, excellent. Tonight we're going to be talking celebration whiskey and the different types of celebrations, because you know you're not a huge. You like to drink whiskey like in a celebration situation. And when you said that, I'm like, well, let's just have a little bit of a celebration in all the different celebration bourbons that there are in whiskeys.
Yeah, I'm more of an occasional splurge kind of guy. Like, hey, the ratings came in pretty good. Let's go out, celebrate, get a couple of really great drinks, great steak, something like kind of like that versus like a little bit more of an everyday kind of bourbon or whiskey drinker. So, yeah, I absolutely... cocktails for me are all about celebration, for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about that. Now, you have the morning show here in Canton, Ohio.
Yes.
And love what you do. There's no doubt about it. And then after the morning show.
So, yeah, now I'm doing quite a bit right now, actually. So I'm doing mornings in Canton, 6 to 10. And then immediately after that, I'm doing 10 to 2 at WMMS in Cleveland, which is where I started originally, and then weekends in Florida and a few other places and some stuff.
Weekends in Florida.
Yeah.
So, but you don't have to go anywhere. You're here,
no,
right?
No, I can stay pretty central. Some of the MMS stuff is done up in Cleveland. There is some going up there, depending on what's going on. Like if, Big Guards game, you know, Big Cavs event, something like that, I'll be up there and do the show out of there. But a lot of it, no, I can be done from down here.
Well, yes, that's almost similar to how I podcast the majority, but then you go on the road on the important things. So that you're... And being out in the public is something that you kind of have to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to look at it as... Sorry, as I knocked that mic
off. No, that's all right.
I'm an amateur. I try to look at it as something I get to do, I try to always remember that there was a time where I was wanting to do what I'm doing versus the fact that I can be annoyed about the fact that I am doing it.
Have you gotten big enough where we talked about a little, but you don't find it yet. It's not annoying yet. Like, well, you can actually still go out
No, I got the perfect level of it. Like, I would never want to be TMZ famous ever. Like, I've said it forever. Like, I understand why those people get punched. Like, for sure I do. Right? Like, you get close enough to the kids with the camera and that, like, it's time to fight. But, like, no, I got the perfect level of it because it's not famous. It's just a recognizability and an appreciation. You know, like, yo, man, thanks for what you do. Not like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Nobody's going to flip over a car because, like, I'm in it. You know, like, it's not Beatles hysteria, but it's more than enough. Like, yo, man, I enjoy that. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for the effort and all of that, which is much more my speed.
So what's really cool about what I do, because you're talking about celebrations. We're going to cover a little bit about, like, birthdays, the birth of a child. Getting married, you know, events that can happen, you know, anniversaries. There's a lot of different reasons that people celebrate and get together, the holidays, that type of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Or like you said, promotions or that type of thing going out. And one of the cool things about, though, being a podcaster on Whiskey is almost like when you're like this past weekend, the state of Ohio did this historic thing with Irish whiskey. So they OHLQ actually in November, or I think it was November, went over to Ireland and got, from a state standpoint, got the Irish distilleries to do barrel picks, and also then said, well, we'll have this event coming up in March to kick off the month of March towards St. Patrick's Day, and we'll bring you all over there, and you can promote Irish whiskey. So they all not only were their barrel picks, but it's over 20 different distilleries and 20 different separate barrels of whiskey. But then they did it in Cincinnati at Jungle Jim's. They did it in Cleveland up at the Giant Eagle in Strongsville. And then they finished up Sunday in Columbus at Chateau Wine and Spirits. And they actually brought Fred Minnick in, who's the ultimate bourbon famous critic. I mean, this guy, what Fred does when it comes to whiskey, pretty much everybody who's into whiskey knows Fred. And, you know, he gives out awards, and he wears an ascot and he also wears a sport coat kind of thing. He's got his whole image, right?
It's exactly what I thought he was going to be wearing.
But he's great. I mean, he's a vet. He had PTSD through whiskey and bourbon and doing all this. And then he was really kind of ramping up before COVID, and then everything, you know, he was reliant. He does this for a living. You know what I mean? He doesn't have another job. He doesn't have anything else. So it's really kind of cool to, I've talked to him on social media, but he was there to meet him in person. Okay. But there was a certain aspect of how well known he was that I was. So not only was everybody through OHLQ getting him around, and then everybody talking to him from the distilleries in Ireland, and he had some good conversations with the people that had come over, because he does all whiskey, you know, and promotes it. But then there was just the pictures of just all the people asking him to sign the bottle and the pictures. And, you know, and I know
kind that's of the hardest part.
That's me. Almost. Not that I was looking at that, and I was so happy that we were the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. There's three of us there, and I was just hanging out, and I see guys I know, and we were doing some selfies, but I did it when I was walking around. It wasn't like every single person, you know, he was that well known, and he was in the mode, but it was too much. It's almost like you'd like to control it, but you know, I was talking, saying, well, I'm glad I'm where I'm at, but there is a chance someday, maybe.
There's, you know, people ask me if it's weird, right, all the time, because, you know, I've been dealing with it, you know, that I shouldn't say that, but I've been lucky enough to have the job I have for a long, long time, right? And I always say it all depends on the person. Like, it's not weird unless they're weird. Like, it's not weird to hear that somebody enjoys you, right? Like, that's kick ass, you know? It's when you get to the end of that natural 3-4 minute kind of conversation, and they're just still kind of looking at you, it's like, I'm at the end of my tricks, man. Like, this is all, you know what I mean? Like, this is all I got, dog. So, like, you know, and like, you know, like, that can get kind of strange. But like, when people are chill, it's the coolest thing in the world. Cause like, you know, again, there's always that little kid who still lives in me that was like, I want to do something like that.
Right.
And I did, you know? And so like you get, even the days when you're like, oh my God, dude, I don't want to deal with having to record this spot, or I don't want to have to do this. It's like, you always have to remind yourself. It's like, dude, what you really don't want to be doing is what you were doing before. Right. And so like,
yeah,
you got to take the good with the bad. But the picture thing quickly, and then we can get into the whiskey, is that's the hardest part for me. Just, and it's not, you know, that I don't want to, you know, talk to people or this and that. It's just, I just don't enjoy having my pictures taken a lot. And so like that, I, you know, and I never feel like I look good in anything. And so like, cause I don't. And so, you know, and then you have no control over, it's like they take one and your face is all like twisted up and they're like, you know, it's on Instagram. You're like, damn it, I look chubby and like all of this, you know, and all that. And so like that part I don't necessarily love, but again, still feel,
you know,
very lucky.
Just so you know, we live close together, right?
Pretty close.
So I'll offer you this, because I've come from an art background and commercial art, and I was searching for pictures today online
of me,
of you, and whatever.
Not that many,
right? There's not that many.
There's not.
And there's, but right now there you have an angle that could be cool. So if you want me to take some, so you can put them out there, the cool ones. We can work on that, and I won't.
I may hit you up on that.
Yeah,
I do. I have a concert photographer who I worked with for a long time at the Agora, who is doing some stuff for me too. But I because I do have it's, I'm bad at it, man. Because like I said, my mom didn't like having her picture taken. It was just kind of one of those things that got passed down to me. I don't know, you know what I mean?
No, I get it. And just, you're in radio.
Yeah, I mean, and like I've been in it again so long that like I premiered webcams in a studio. Like that was, I was in a studio before that was a thing. And then here those came, and I'll never forget, like we were in a commercial break and I forgot the webcam was running. And some guy's like, dude, you're just sitting in there eating Subway. And it's like, yeah, man, I eat lunch, you know? And so like, you know, and then all of a sudden then the entire industry just kind of changed at that moment, you know, and it went much more visual.
Right, right, right. But I, like I said, I would do that in a second.
Yeah, we maybe should.
Cause, yeah, because like, you could put some.
Doctoring me up ain't easy.
You know what I mean? Hey, it's like today you're looking cool as shit. That's for sure.
Well,
so here
it.
We are.
I'll
so, all right. So the first one I want to talk about, like for a celebration, is this would just be a whiskey celebration.
Okay.
I like that. It's this one here where you don't like it. Like I'm like, there's a certain,
we don't like it, and we're gonna
do initially Crown Royal. Is generic. Its Crown is I don't mind Jim Beam, but they have better stuff. Okay,
sure.
But there's a shit ton of people drink Jim Beam because that's kind of like 90% of the market, of the people like to have consistency and drink and whatever. And then Jack Daniels, and then there's Crown, which is a Canadian, and Crown was created for when the king.
Royalty, right?
Royalty came in 1939 to Canada and the United States to, you know, to convince everybody that the world was going to be in trouble, okay? When the guy from Canada did 900 different batches of whiskey and landed on Crown. And that was, then he put it in a bag, he put the seal on it, and they gave him 6 cases to tour all through Canada and down into the, so there were 6 cases. It was a whiskey for a king, right?
Okay.
So I'm, as far as the whiskey and you drink it, it's not the greatest, okay? In my opinion, there's people who love it. And that's one thing about, it doesn't matter whether I like it or not. But what I found is this was an Ohio barrel pick, okay?
Okay.
And this isn't the blend with 40 some different whiskeys that they make yearly, and then they blend to make the blend over and over and over again. This is just one of the whiskeys in one of the barrels.
Okay.
So this was a celebration for me because the way this tastes, it comes in a bag and it still has all the pomp and all the circumstance, right? But it was a celebration that it's probably one of the better whiskeys I've ever tasted.
Is that right?
As far as taste goes, yes.
I just gotta say, man, like if I was given, and I could not be any more of a novice at this stuff, right? And I understand, like you and the people who view you on the regular are experts, right? I could not be any more of a novice at it. But if you offered me Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, or Crown Royal, I'm going to choose the Crown Royal.
Okay. So, and like
that would be my choice.
Then. And you were a bartender. So you got to go through that a lot.
So I have poured more Washington apples than I care to remember. Yeah.
So Crown Apple.
Yeah. Like a lot of that.
Crown. Well, I could tell you I've got Crown Caramel back there no matter what, because if you put that with, apple cider and Crown Caramel. Holy crap.
Everybody likes that, and he's always got a bottle of Crown Peach in the golf bag.
So yeah, so that is a flavored whiskey.
We're into that.
This is not flavored. This is just whiskey out of a barrel that they picked. They called it Elephant Ear.
Okay. Is there significance?
Yeah, because when you drink this, you're going to... So, you know when you eat an elephant ear, it's deep at the carnival, and it's deep fried, and it's got the sugar and everything.
I'm an expert in those.
So
I know all about those.
Okay, so this basically will give you it gives you a caramel kind of sugar sweetness, but it finishes, and you actually can taste the deep fried bread aspect of an elephant. It's unbelievable. And when I tasted this... I'm surprised the bottle's not gone. That's how good it is.
All right. Well, now you talk me into it.
Cheers.
Cheers. Well, that is good. Yeah, it's a little bit of a step up from just like a standard Crown pour for sure.
Oh yeah, and it's not flavored. There's no like, because Canadian whiskey has different rules, and Canadians are great blenders, but they can add caramel coloring. They can use used barrels. So a lot of Crown is aged in used bourbon barrels. It's because where bourbon cannot be aged, it has to be a new barrel. So you can see the difference. It sucks all the taste. You know, you put it in there 6-7 years and it pulls all that wood taste. It pulls all those wood, the sugars and everything. But it also leaves whiskey in there. And then they take it up there and put it in there for 7-8 years into that same barrel, and it's going to be a softer type whiskey. Especially then, you know, you don't have the heat of Kentucky pulling it out, dragging it in, pulling it out, and the heat and the cold. Where up in Canada, it's just freaking cold.
Cold.
The thing about Canada is our most northern coldest border. Is there Florida?
Yeah, that's kind of wild.
That's hard. That's a hard place to live. That's for sure.
I have a radio friend who works up there, and the cold weather is a heavy topic of conversation when I talk to her.
So this one I celebrate because, got it.
Thanks.
Just rinse it out. That one. I thought that if you like Crown, that's even another level, and it's really good, right?
Yeah.
So there's other type celebrations. One is that you get into, now that one was right, I believe, around $70.
Okay.
Reasonably priced, especially today.
I mean, it doesn't even sound excessive because, I mean, like a standard bottle of Crown is, what, 45?
50? Right, right. And, well... Actually, it's probably 55 now. Everything's gone up 10, 20 bucks in the last year. It's just, even since the last time we were here, you're really feeling that extra price. Oh, okay.
For sure. And everything.
So this next one is really cool because this is something that you'd save for like your friends coming over. And you're all getting together and you want to have a special pour. Maybe you're doing your fantasy baseball draft or your whatever. And it's not what everybody's going to drink, but this is something you'd be like, dudes, this is what we want to do to kick off the season. Or this is what it's like, a kickoff special pour. And this is a chicken cock Chanticleer. And it is finished. It's a bourbon. Finished in cognac barrels.
Okay.
So it has a cognac finish. So they basically now finish bourbons a lot of times. Now this one will run you around, it's, I believe, started out at $2.99 and right now it's $1.99.
A bottle.
Yeah. For a bottle. Now this one, we know the guy who is responsible for the blending of these barrels and also the distiller for Chicken Cock, Greg Schneider. So that's really kind of cool. We had Ann Dimmick from OHLQ on, and she liked us talking about the conspiracy.
Yeah, I saw that. Saw that. She was like, conspiracy, go. And I was like, wow, we'd be here all night.
Yeah.
And conspiracies.
So this one is really nice because it's a finish. So this is more like everybody's going to sit around. They're going to nose it. They're going to taste it. And they're just going to, that's what you want to do. This is your special bottle for your friends and when you get together. Like, you know, it's not just what everybody's going to be drinking while they're drafting. A lot of times I find when I'm doing something fun, I just want something that I don't have to think about.
Yeah.
But this is like, oh, the draft's over. Let's cheers, you know, kind of thing. It's really different.
Yeah, I was going to say it has a unique scent to it.
Yeah, it picks up some of that cognac and it's like, not real sweet.
No. Yeah, I would describe it as the opposite of that.
But there you go. Now the it tastes sweeter.
Oh yeah.
Than.
And I gotta tell you, it tastes different than I thought it would.
Based off of the nose.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, I expected it to be stronger tasting, actually.
There's almost now if you smell it, there's almost like a gingerbread.
There's a little, it's definitely a lighter taste than the scent would.
Right. And that's one of the really good things about a good whiskey is that, one, it gives you enough spice or enough peppery flavor, but it doesn't overpower any of the flavor, you know?
Yeah.
So if something's too hot, you're like, all you taste is the heat and there's no flavor. These really give you the flavor. And then the other thing a more expensive whiskey does is the taste lasts longer. Like it's like if you like a lot of times when you're drinking something just at the end of the, like let's just say it's a hard day and you're not drinking but you just want something to relax, you have one pour, you want to be like finished with that and you go upstairs and by the time you brush your teeth you still taste it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely hangs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I was a fan of that one.
Then, getting married, having a child, whatever, there's those kind of bottles. And that this is it. And it goes into a dusty. What a dusty is people... Yeah. And the way it works is you wouldn't think there's a lot, but like in Kentucky, I know Brad Bonds from Revival Vintage Bottle Shop in Covington, and they have this vintage bottle shop, and he goes around to all the places, and he needs a tax stamp intact. This had that, and he'll buy different vintage bottles, and then he likes to like on a Friday open up a bottle and sell it for $5 or $10 a pour, really reasonable for something that could be hundreds of dollars for a pour, right? So this one, Super Nash got us. It's the Americana Collection. This is J.W. Dant. Now, J.W. Dant, their family sold to Heaven Hill when they started like at the same time as Jim Beam.
Okay.
J.W. Dant formed his still in a log. He hollowed out a log and made a still out of it. That's how it started. It was out of an old hollowed out log. That's how he made his still. But when the family evolved and came out of Prohibition and then whatever, the family was so big and had been mixing with the Beam family that everybody couldn't get along. So they basically sold every aspect of the rights to Heaven Hill, which is another distiller that makes Elijah Craig.
Oh,
it makes some Evan Williams.
Yeah, I've had that.
Yeah. So that's they own J.W. Dant now.
Okay.
But when the family, after the family sold, now Logstill Distillery is the new distillery. It's owned by Wally Dant, but they are not allowed to do anything of their families because Heaven Hill has all the rights. But so Heaven Hill still makes J.W. Dant, even though the Dant family has their new distillery and everything. But that's just how it works in the world. Yeah. Maybe someday it'll go home, but the dispute was not, there was a dispute, so I don't think it's going home. But this one is from 1968. I've already drank it, so it's safe.
Okay.
So the way you could tell a Dusty when you open it, the first thing you want to do is look at color, okay? And you want to make sure there's no cloudiness. And you could tell right away that's that rich yep. and clear. This is something you want to save for a really special occasion. It's someone saved this bottle. It's got the, this is at the time when they were doing a lot of decanters and whatever, but it's yeah. a different collection. It was so, but it's 1968. And this is what you call it, the ultimate Dusty. It comes from a different time period, and they were growing different grains. They were, you know, what there was no such thing as GMO corn. There
right.
was no, yeah. So it's a whole different time. The water that they were using, you know, probably at the time, it wasn't, you know, quite as polluted. You know what I mean? The whole aspect of what, how they were making it back then is completely different. And you're going to be able to, I'm going to, you know, cheers to this, man. This is something that you want to bring out on one of those really special occasions. It's not high proof. I believe it's like 86 proof. So it's not, you know, I'm not killing you with 110 or whatever, but
yeah.
I want to know what you think of this and what that the nose on it is exactly what a lot of old whiskey smell like that are really good.
Yeah, that's different too.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had
something that tasted like that, right?
Yeah, that's different.
Like tons of cherry. You get some cherry in there.
I'm bad at the palate thing, but I understand the avenue you're in there. I'm not sure that's what I would have pulled, but like I understand the avenue there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that is a different flavoring than I was. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it's
pretty good. And I understand that being for I feel bad you're pulling it out for me, but yeah, I could understand how that could be a special occasion taste.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that, and then history has removed a majority of it because people have drank it or it's been, you know, compromised. But this is these are one of the fun times, you know, the special things when you get to actually taste something.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, I absolutely think that this is one of the better Dusties. But knowing Brad Bonds from Revival Vintage Spirits, we're friends, and having a friend that is basically purchasing all the vintage bottles in that he can possibly get and then sharing them with you. I've tasted a 1912 Scotch, a 1930, all the Pappy Van Winkles, which is like the premier thing of what everybody searches for now. The Pappy Van Winkle 15. It's like those are special bottles for everybody. Okay?
I watched the documentary.
Right, right. And yeah. So, but he has like 1947 Stitzel Weller, and that's where Pappy was made before they closed the Stitzel Weller distillery and then reopened it at Buffalo Trace. Buffalo Trace bought up the stock and then started distilling for the Van Winkles. And I mean, the stuff you get to taste is unbelievable. And it's funny going there with him, you're going, this is a celebration. You're celebrating just the fact that you get to taste some of this stuff. You know what I mean?
It's rare.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it was really good.
So. Now. The ultimate celebration is coming up. March 17th.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. And
right around the corner.
Like you said, I was talking with Ann Dimmick of OHLQ. She's like funk. She's mentioning funk. But This one didn't have funk. I mean, I would say that is pretty, that like almost is like a candy. You know what I mean? That's so good.
Yeah, like, again, funk wouldn't be the way I would go there. For me, and not knowing the terminology even a little, for me, it was more clean than anything. Like almost everything's out of the way except for whiskey.
It's not what you expected to come out of that bottle, right?
No, right? That's for sure. And it's, yeah, again, it was much, it just a strong whiskey flavor, but kind of like almost subtle in the same way where it's not, I don't, you know, some things like feel heavy when you're drinking.
Right.
It just doesn't, that doesn't feel heavy at all. That's, that was pretty good.
All right. So this is, so Anne was talking about how the majority of whiskey consumed on St. Patrick's Day is Jameson. You know, sure. Jameson, especially today, is even more embedded in the Irish whiskey aspect. But there's Tullamore Dew. I mean, there's a lot of different, what would you say? There's, you know, Bushmills. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some Irish whiskey that people, you know, But the people who make Jameson, and I got to remember this because Middleton Distillery in Ireland, okay? They have come out in response to, like, what happened with bourbon with a couple other brands, okay? They got their own Middleton brand, which I saw, but they also have Redbreast, and people love Redbreast. So when I was at this thing on Sunday, right here, this is Red Breast Cask Strength. And I'm just going to give you a little. But I had Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
The master distiller sign it for me. And I purchased this bottle. This bottle, I believe, was $139.
So don't drop it.
No. It's not like I'd run out of whiskey.
Yeah, I was gonna say you got more than a few.
I don't want you to drop it, but if you have, I'm not gonna cry. But yeah, but this one we're gonna open up because you're here in the month of March, and this is if I can open it up. Let's see. Am I going the wrong way?
May want to have done that before the pod started. You know, a little prefab.
I've had this happen.
You gotta learn from them cooking shows. You ever notice that, man? The food's already in them little bowls for you. You know what I mean? Brian Regan pointed that out. Everybody can do it.
Come on. My nails should be working here.
Yeah, they really should be. So, you know, you started to say St. Patrick's Day, the bulk of what gets, consumed would be like Jameson and the like. Is that bad? Is Jameson now like considered to be a dirty word?
No, Jameson, in my opinion, they've come out with different,
there's plenty of them now, right?
But it's the same old aspect of,
I drank that shit for years, man. Jameson and ginger ale, like up and down Garfield, you know, Boulevard and Garfield Heights, man. I must have drank every bar out of that stuff for the longest time, man. Like, it's one of those things, right?
So
like,
was that your jam, just Irish whiskey? You so like that taste?
So here's the thing about Irish whiskey, man, is like, yeah, for the longest time, Jameson and ginger was like my drink. Like, that's what I drank, right? But then something happened to me with it where I could go into a bar and I would order a PBR, and if we were going to do shots of Jameson, somebody would be like, hey, man, let's get a PBR and a shot of Jameson, right?
Yeah.
And I could always tell with the first one. If I drank the first one and I was like, ooh, yeah, I was going to drink the rest of that bottle that night, and we were going to black out, right? But then there's also things sometimes with Irish whiskey where I could go into a bar ready to drink that night and take one sip of it and be like, it ain't tonight. Like, it has... Jameson does kind of have one of those flavors to it where it's like, if that's what I want, then I want all of it. And if it's not what I want, then I don't want it anywhere near me.
So with Beam, they got Jim Beam. Okay. Yeah. They came out with Old Tub for a while, which I really loved. It's a one dimensional. If you like the taste, you don't have to think about it. It just tastes good. And it's the same thing with Jameson. Like you said, you know, the taste, you know, whether it's
happening. You know what you're getting.
No, what really sucks is that the night that happens for me when it's not happening, I still have a podcast. I back off, but yeah, at that point,
an IPA or
Yeah. But with this, Knob Creek was like Knob Creek, Baker's, Booker's,
are, and Basil Hayden are all Jim Beam products that were like taking the same thing and aging it longer and picking out the sweet spots of the rickhouse to make the best, or making it cast strength, you know, where, and Redbreast came out from Middleton.
Okay.
And that's who makes it. I mean, they may, it's the Jameson people make this, but this is upper level fifth. Like I have the Redbreast 15 year and I've got, or 12 year, and I've got this and I love it. But it's a pot still. It comes from Ireland. It's completely different, but it's similar to Jameson. So I'm excited for you to try this.
Yeah. I was a big fan of Jameson for a long time.
Now this is the most potent. These next three are going to be potent. So I'm just going to keep you at a,
yeah, I got an early morning.
But yeah. Yeah.
But we drank a bottle of Jameson 12 year for the Super Bowl at my house, actually. That's what we had.
They had the 15 on the thing, and it was, like, so good. The cinnamon flavors that were there, I mean, CT's like, I'm buying that. He's like, I'm just getting that. Because they were sampling, and the sampling was also awesome. I was able to sample this, but cheers. This is what you want to do if you just want to sit back when you're not out at the bars.
Yeah, a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has that Irish whiskey bite. Irish whiskey, for me, always seems to bite a little deeper in the throat, which, to give the podcast listeners a pull quote to run with. But it does, right? Like, Canadian whiskey always felt like, this is probably the wrong word, but like, I don't know, it always came off a little smoother to me.
Yeah, because they're doing that in those used barrels. Now,
where Irish whiskey always felt like, you're earning that shit. You know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit more burn in it. It's, you know what I mean? But you're going to earn it a little bit, but you're happy with it in the end.
Now, the difference, Canadian whiskey a lot of times is still corn, wheat, rye, corn, rye, and barley, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is very similar to bourbon. You know, you can make a bourbon mash bill and put it in a used barrel, then you got to call it American whiskey. But it's still the same distillate, just how you aged it.
Hmm.
But this is all malt. This is malted barley. That's what Scotch is.
All right.
That's what this is. Now, they will do different things. I mean, they will do different variations of it. You know, they can put some corn in there or whatever. But for the most part, when you're talking about Scotch or Irish whiskey, you're talking about 100% malted barley. So she said Kevin O'Gorman. Thank you, Ann. So, because that's who signed the. Oh,
I know.
And I'm not an Irish whiskey expert. So it was really cool that the state of Ohio went over there, picked the barrels, and then did this huge giant event that we were talking about.
Yeah.
And then they bring back this fantastic whiskey. I mean, I spent too much. There's no doubt. I don't know the Irish whiskey people for them to be giving me samples yet. But I met a good amount of them. And what's great about meeting people in the industry is they're so nice and kind, and they're all about a good time. And so this celebration is something that I definitely, although now I have a place to keep going, Cleveland on the Rocks, which is Matt Lies, and he does a podcast up in Cleveland. And he likes to drink a lot more than but we go up there now all the time for, this will be the second, all the time, second year in a row for St. Patrick's Day. So I'm actually out on St. Patrick's Day drinking again,
yeah,
which
man,
is, like, so I haven't done that for probably 20 years in the last 2 years.
I had not such a great experience with it last year.
Well, myself. I know how that can go.
And it got a little away from me last year, but.
But that's whiskey.
We'll get them this year.
Or whiskey or alcohol can get away from you, but we always just try to do our best, right?
Yeah, man. You get right back up on the horse the next day.
All right, so there you go. So that one you liked?
Yeah.
And that's cast strength. So right there, I do enjoy that. All right, so this is a special bottle if you can pass the one over there that is for special. This is like what happens when this is, for instance, this is a bottle you break out. This is the Michter's. It's cask strength, but it came straight from the barrel. I went to the distillery. I filled my own bottle from the barrel and then put the label on, and it's my batch.
Oh, that's kind of awesome. That's a cool experience.
Yeah, it's and because we were we podcasted with the master distiller and the master blender and the owner, they sent us over there and very kindly let us do this. We didn't even expect it. All of a sudden, we were doing it.
Yeah, that's a
that's cool experience. Some of the So look at the bottle's really. So you get this really nice, you know, thing, and then you got the bottle. Look at, I mean, you got the bottle. It's got your name on it, everything. But this is what you share with and celebration with friends.
This to me is what a whiskey bottle looks like. Like,
yeah.
When I think about a writer sitting down and like writing the classics and like they drank too much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this is exact. That's what I always think the whiskey bottle looks like.
And the, and this is Michter's, and it originated in Pennsylvania, but then was reopened in Kentucky, and they were known for their rye. Okay, but this is the Fort Nelson Reserve. It's a bourbon, and that pot still is their famous pot still. They got the picture on there. So it's, but they've got the actual pot still at their distillery that just is over there. And then they basically made this gigantic version of it, which now runs, but it looks exactly like that, but it's probably 10 times bigger than the original
one. Oh, shit, that's kind of cool.
So this one, like I said, is something that when you've got somebody that, you know, you want to hang out and you're just friends and whatever, you open this up and cheers, man, because it's been, I'm willing to, I want to share this with you. So this is like a little bit of a share between, you know, though that's the celebration, you know, two friends getting together that want to do something and want something a little bit special. So you got that.
I'm starting to get a little perfume drunk personally, but I, in the sense like things are starting to kind of run together for me a little bit,
but if you, so when you're doing the nosing, right, do this, smell at the bottom, which you normally, but then go to the top.
Okay.
I'll go to the top. You can pull those caramels, those rich caramels out of there, right?
Okay.
So it's, and then, did you know you have a dominant nostril? So there's one time.
I know I can breathe out of one better in the winter than the other
but
one.
But if you do this, you have to determine because it'll switch. But mine right now is definitely in my left nostril where you smell better.
I feel like it's my right one.
There you go. Oh, the top of it, though, if you just smell. That's where you pull out all those caramels and everything.
I will agree. It starts to smell better as you go up
yeah.
for me. I
yeah.
prefer it.
All right. There.
Oh, God. Again, much like I said about the one that came in the decanter, flavor profile doesn't necessarily fit what the nose is going to tell you you're going to get.
Right. I mean,
and then actually, this was the best pleasant surprise thus far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like the flavor of that.
Yeah. I mean, and all these, you know, the price, you know, is, you know, a little bit higher up there. But when you're dealing with, you know, wanting to celebrate, that's, is it any different than, what was it? Starberry. Remember Starberry?
Yeah.
I mean, he basically was giving you the quality that you got in Nike, and he gave a line of clothing and shoes that were like, instead of, you know, 80, 90, 100 bucks at the time, he was doing it for $35 and a hoodie for $16.99 instead. And it had his logo and it didn't succeed.
Right.
Because people want to spend the money because that is a status thing, right?
We've been taught that a certain dollar entry point equals quality, right? And like, and definitely corporations, plenty of them have figured out that you can set a customer base depending on where your dollar amount is, right? Because, and again, like,
this is a hobby where you're looking for people, and I could not be any further away from this, but you're kind of looking for people who are seasoned in it, right? And, like, it's not, like, that bottle of whiskey's not for everybody. Like, it isn't. It's for people who have a deep appreciation, right? It kind of feels that way.
Well, put it this way. It's for, you get, you collect your whiskey, but whiskey's about 100% the, it's more about the people you're spending time with than it is about the whiskey itself. You know what I mean? So it's more for friendship. You know what I'm saying? That's really why I love this part of it, is to get to meet the people out there. And I rarely find, when I'm out in the field in the United States, I don't find mean people in this industry. I don't find mean people at whiskey festivals. These are people who work hard and they enjoy the spoils of, you know, the whiskey. But
yeah,
the
I can understand that. Yeah.
But the people who make it have this passion to take those grains, you know, stuff that would spoil. And that's why whiskey was invented in the first place. It's like you grow a bunch of corn, to ship it in these mass amounts is expensive. But if you distill it down and you sell it or trade it as whiskey, it's way, way more.
Yeah, it becomes a different thing.
Yeah, and that's why they did it, because it doesn't. It's a way to take the excess corn and turn it into money, or, you know, that kind of thing. All right, so we're at the last bottle, and we're really at close. So we'll finish up with this. I wanted to share this. This is something that I share with people. I love this brand. This brand is a $335 brand.
Okay.
Old Carter. It is a unique a couple who basically went around and purchased high-end, really good barrels and formed a company where they mixed them together, batched them, and put them out in batches. I like this brand straight across everyone, but this batch 9 is at a level of the best. I'd say it's in the top 5 whiskeys I've ever tasted.
Really?
And I have it. So I'm like, this is something that when you've got when you have your favorite brand, you celebrate with people because it's your favorite one, right?
Yeah,
so absolutely. You can pull this out for anything. If people are over for a birthday and someone really loves bourbon, you can be, hey, you got to taste this, right? Or this could be a special occasion bottle, you know, any kind of special occasion bottle. And the last thing I'll say is, we were talking about Blanton's. Blanton's, although it's not, in my opinion, like, all worth all the hype of what that bottle is, they have a dump date on it. So a lot of people love to buy that bottle so that they can, that dump date matches up with their wedding, or that dump birthday date. Yeah. So you see a lot of people in search of.
Oh yeah, sure.
They're always in search of. Creating, so that's a great bottle.
Yeah.
But this one here is what we'll finish off and celebrate. Did you pour it? Did you get water?
Yeah, I washed
it
out.
I need some water in there, because this is by, like, right now at the moment of what I have, is the best I have. So I wanted to share.
Really? Wow. That's impressive, considering how much stuff you have in here.
As far as taste, that's a barrel strength, so it's hot. But this one is like,
ooh.
Yeah, it's a ooh one.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
I like the way that smells a lot. That's probably my favorite smell tonight.
And it gets even better when you drink it.
That's my favorite smell of the evening for sure. That tastes like, or smells like food.
So the proof on this, just to let you know before we do it, is 132.8.
Oof.
So it's the highest proof, but it's not. There's no way you're going to do this and you're going to go, that doesn't work like 132.
Ooh, yeah.
You've got the heat, right? Not the definitely pepper, but it's just, what's that flavor? Butterscotch, caramel,
Yeah, just there's like, definitely heat to it, though.
It's a at that level, but it's not as it's not undrinkable.
No, I would agree with that.
Warms you up inside, right?
Yeah, that to me, that's Christmas morning right there.
Yeah, that's an exactly. It's an ultimate sipper.
Fireplace, slow cigar.
Oh yeah,
winter morning.
So you like to do cigars?
So again, much like whiskey, I don't know shit. You know what I mean? I like them as a golfer on the golf course. I love them. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those things. Like, sit in the cart, four cocktails deep, shooting 120, furious about it. But a nice cigar and a good drink there. Like that's my favorite way. Or out on the patio Friday night, she's got a bottle of wine open. Maybe a cigar right there. I'm not necessarily a daily guy. But again, we're celebrating, doing something, or the golf course, there's something about a cigar playing 18 holes of golf that just kind of go, it's just
perfect. There's a place for it. Yeah. And so the one thing that I never liked about cigars.
But I wouldn't know a good cigar from a bad one. Like I could not know less.
I'm pretty much right there with you. I'll usually... Now, when you go into a bourbon place and you ask them, they will lead you to some damn good cigars, okay?
So yeah, well, they go hand in hand.
Right, right. But one of the things about cigars is it's a little bit, there'll be a little bit bitterness. So a lot of times when you're drinking a bourbon with a cigar, the cigar flavor brings out the sweetness of a bourbon, like it doesn't complement it. It accentuates the flavor of the bourbon because of the cigar has that little bit of bitterness.
My buddy's a big fan of dipping the tip of his cigar in
some to people, his yeah into his whiskey.
He's a big fan.
And there's a lot of soaked bourbon soaked cigars and whatnot, but I never liked the fact like if I'd smoke a cigar. What I don't like about it is not while I'm smoking it, it's the next morning.
Yeah,
I can see that. So I found a thing called Caper Dry, and it's basically a little wood insert, and it basically evens out how much smoke you can pull in.
Okay.
And then it also keeps your saliva from wetting the end of the cigar, okay? So when you get it near the end, it's all wet and it's whatever. So it seems to take away that aspect. So that's changed things for me. So where I used to be one or two times a year, I think maybe five or six times a year. You know what I mean? Kind of guys with cigars. But I don't. I'm right there with you.
For me, it's Christmas Eve. She's wrapping presents for the kids. Everybody's asleep.
Yeah,
two drinks. A quick cigar out on the patio. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, come in. Look at the calmness of the Christmas tree. And hit the hay.
and then that's just kind of there's cigars are moments for me versus like a full blown habit.
Well, put it this way. Thank you so much for coming tonight. It was
thanks for having me.
Having you is a moment for me. And well, I know, but it's still.
I always feel a little bad because I just feel like, you know, again, this is, you're dealing with some high quality stuff and I enjoyed it, but I just feel like there are people who would maybe appreciate it on a different level. And so I always feel a little guilty when you're pulling out your stash for me.
No, because I have a stash for everybody. There's so much. This isn't this.
Well, little, I was going to say, you would take you a long time to drink it all.
I'm not drinking it.
I was going
to
say.
Well, there'd have to be
You got to know that, right? Like, you know you're not ever getting to the end of it, right?
The only way is if the world ends as we know it, I'll just sit down here and start a fire in that fireplace that hasn't had one in ever. It works.
There are worse ways to ride out the end of the world.
Yeah, that's how it is. Yeah, you know what I mean? Sure. Or maybe just pull it all out on the patio and just wait.
One bottle at a time.
Yeah,
there you go. One bottle at a time.
All right, so thank you, everybody, for joining us. Oh, let's see. Brian, what are you here for? Oh, so I got – this is my favorite thing about it. It's like already live the scammers hit.
Yeah.
What bottles? We're just talking about, you know, sharing some good whiskey. We weren't talking about. And anyways, you know how that works, right?
Oh, yeah, I know.
This is Cameron. All right, everybody. www.scotchybourbonboys.com for all things Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And then also we're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X. And make sure you listen to us on Apple, iHeart, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Remember,
it's iHeart.
That's it. and there you go. Yes.
I have to get one company plug in.
Okay, wait. Give a plug for yourself everything.
So, yeah, I am an iHeart radio employee. I do mornings in Canton, Ohio on Rock 106.9. I also do middays at WMMS in Cleveland, and both things can be picked up via iHeart Radio. If you search Rock 106.9, The Stansberry Show, or WMMS, you'll be able to find me at one of those places easily.
Yeah, and everybody out there, find Dan on the internet, because you're it doesn't matter where you are, you can actually listen to you and hear you actually have a podcast too, right?
Yeah, so the podcast is hosted at the station's website, wrqk.com, but like, you know, most people are social media people these days. The Stansberry Show, if you just search that on all your social medias, you'll find me.
Yeah.
If you're interested at all, maybe you could teach me something about whiskey, because God knows I got a lot to learn about it. But I did have fun drinking some of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whiskey is what it is to it's unique to everybody. It's a personal experience. I always like to say not everybody likes lobster.
Right.
You know, you get all these people who rip on people because they can't drink this or they can't drink this or how they do that. And I'm just like, it doesn't matter. It's like, just drink what you like.
I just enjoy learning things, right? Like, yeah. I'm in my job, dude, curiosity is one of the most important things in the world. People think it's about talking, but it's really about listening and gathering information and then, you know, giving out the things you've learned. So, like, that's one of the reasons why I like coming here, man, because, like, I don't know that much about it, and I always leave here with, like, 3-4 things I just learned. It's like, all right, that's cool. I didn't know that before.
Now, the best thing about whiskey in the end is what we were drinking tonight, because it's a good quality whiskey, and it's been aged a certain amount in the barrel. The barrel has a charcoal filter, so it takes out a lot of the stuff in distilling that can cause you to have a hangover. So drinking good whiskey the next morning isn't usually bad.
Much like eating clean food is better than eating junk, you'll feel better, right?
Well, yeah. There's an aspect of a 2-year-old whiskey that people drink off the bottom shelf that, you know, there's more addictive kind of chemicals in there. There's stuff because it hasn't been in the barrel long enough to take it out. You know what I mean? Now, you can distill it better and purer. What like you do in pot still, but at the same time, you know, it's all about, we know, it's about marketing and getting the product to, as you know, they sometimes want you just to put it out instead of actually try and put out good content. They're like, it doesn't matter. They're going to listen to this, right?
Get it on the shelf.
Yeah, get it on the shelf.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So, all right. So, remember, good bourbon, good whiskey equals good times and good friends. Make sure you drink responsibly, don't drink and drive, and go out and live your life dangerously. Devo will take us out.
I like that.
Did I just end it?
I think you may have.
How did I do that?
I think you may have.
Wait, what did I do? Did it crash?
No, there it is.
So we just did a double take on the end.
It's all right. It's all right. I always say, man,
show me
it's not an operating table. You know what I mean?
Oh, right.
And so many people take it so seriously. And it's like, well, it is serious. Like, you can't just, like, willy-nilly it. But, like, nobody died with the mistake you made. So, like, learn from the mistake, kind of figure out what, all right, don't do that again next time. I'll do this versus that. And you're mostly fine after that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I've embraced the mistakes.
Yeah. I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
All right.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.